720 WGN Chicago. It's time for Extension 720. Here's your host, Milt Rosenberg.
Everybody recognizes that.
The Entertainer by Scott Joplin, which was the theme music in The Sting. Bruce Wahlstatt knows everything there is about stings, both big stings and little stings. That is big con and little con. Well, welcome once again.
Well, thanks, Milt, for having me back. Always a pleasure to be here.
You probably saw that film 10 times, did you?
At least.
Yeah. That was the classic big con. That game was called The Wire. In the days of Yellow Kid Wild.
That's right, and he was a very, very famous Chicago con man.
Yeah.
And that movie was actually based on that scam that he had made up, The Wire. That's correct.
Is there a version of that which is still played anyplace in the world?
Not that I know of. It could be.
Too much of a production.
Well, not so much that, but who's going to report it if it did happen to them?
Uh-huh. Well, that's always been the key to big con, isn't it? That you cool out the mark, the victim, and make it impossible for him to go to the cops, because it will bring not only shame, but might bring accusations against him for being involved, attempting to be involved in fraud.
You got it absolutely right. That's a big problem we in law enforcement have today, is the lack of reporting. They say that anywhere from 1 out of 5 to 1 out of 100 incidents of fraud are ever reported. That's why so many communities don't recognize this is the problem it is. For every time you have a pigeon drop or a bank examiner scam or some of the other things we'll talk about tonight, you get one reported, you could have had 5 more, 10 more, 20 more that go by completely unreported because people are too embarrassed to come forward.
The Sting is the game that's played out in that famous film of the same name. The Wire is what's played out in The Sting. You just mentioned the pigeon drop. That's another classic big con game, isn't it?
Well, been around no more than 500 years.
The basic scenario is what?
That somebody comes up down the street, has found some money.
Play it with me.
Okay, hey. You're coming out of the drugstore. You drive up in the drugstore parking lot. You run inside. You come back out. I'm standing there by your car with a package full of money, and I'm saying to you, is this yours, sir?
Is what mine?
This package here. Is this yours?
No.
And then I open it up, and inside is what either is a great deal of money or appears to be a great deal of money. And I look you in the eye and say, is this yours?
Well, where did you find it?
Right by your car door. That's why I assumed it's yours.
Maybe it is.
You know what?
I
better turn this over to the authorities.
Well, hold on a minute. What authorities?
Well, I'd bring it down to the police, I think. Don't you think that'd be appropriate?
Yeah, I guess you could do it.
Do you think we should talk about this? Oh, wait, look, here's a note.
Oh, yeah, what does it say?
Oh, the note. How about this one? Julio, here's the last payment on the shipment from Colombia. Signed, Juan. Gee, what do you think this could be?
Hey, that sure sounds... Well, that sounds like drugs to me. Colombia?
Maybe, huh? Oh, boy. And then...
This is drug money.
It says there's $30,000 here, too. So, at least we know it's not somebody's life savings that they just dropped, huh? What do you think we ought to do with it?
Well, it belongs to Julio, obviously.
Well, he ain't going to claim it. He's not going to call the police that he lost his drug money. Are you kidding?
What if he finds out that we took it?
You'll never know. I think we ought to get somewhere else safer to talk.
Who are you, by the way?
I'm just Bruce. I just came out of the store the same as you did. I was coming out when you were going in.
You live around here?
Yeah, right down the street.
Oh, I live over on Maryland Place.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden a third person generally walks up and says, hey, I saw the whole thing. What's going on? And then my character Bruce, would say, hey, we just found all this money. What do you think we ought to do with it? And we'd go back and forth. And eventually the third person that would come in would say something like, I have a friend of mine nearby here who's like a lawyer or works at the currency exchange. And they know about these type of things. And I'll go talk to them. So that third person leaves and within a few minutes comes back with the good news. And the good news is usually something revolves around, we can keep the money and split it up, but, and then there's always that big buff that comes out. And this
capital B, capital U, capital B.
Oh, absolutely. And here's where the con can go in many different directions. Yeah. It can be something like we each have to produce money, our own cash, to open up an investment, and the lawyer that we went to see is going to backdate it a year, and that this is the payoff, but he needs to Xerox the money. our money, that was the money going in, and then the money coming out will be this. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but you're blinded right now.
I didn't understand it, but by now, I'm so far committed already. By
that's right. And you're blinded by 10 grand. You're blinded because you're about to get 10 grand.
Yeah, by now I've got the smell of the money.
Right, and the second you hesitate, we both turn our back on you, and we start saying, well, we'll split 50-50. That's 15 for each of us, and you're like, oh, wait, let me back in. Another version is, he comes back from the lawyer with a check made out the cash and explains to us that the lawyer's a good friend of his. He counted the money. He's going to hold it in a safe for 30 days and gave us a check for $27,000. I let him have three, and all we got to do is cash the check now. And, gee, my bank's in St. Louis. And the other guy says, gee, my bank's in Denver. Where's yours? Right here. You cash the check. You know, I mean, the whole pretense of the scam makes by the way, the check is no good.
Yeah.
But the whole pretense of the scam absolutely makes no sense, because, I mean, think about this. I'd like to hear from one listener tonight who could call me up and say somebody on the street walked up to them and said, hey, I found some money. Do you want to share it?
But they squeeze the money out of the victim by essentially getting him to put up how much?
Oh, it varies. There's been pigeon drops anywhere from a few $100.
In this game, as we played it through, they'd ask him for one-third of the 30.
Well, they might. They might ask you.
It's earnest money. It's money that gives evidence that he's got goodwill
right,
and is trustworthy.
That's one of the variations.
And he's going to get it back.
That's one of the variations.
Yeah.
Like the thing about Xerox and the money is we'd each have to come up with $5,000.
Ah.
And we put our $15,000 in an envelope. We take that to the lawyer. The first guy comes back from the lawyer with his share of the found money plus his $5,000.
Right.
And then we send you to see the lawyer next to get your $5,000 back. And
they do a switch on me.
We just send you off to see the lawyer in the third floor of that building over there.
Oh.
And that's it over with. You're gone. You know what I mean? You know, while you go in, we drive away. I always think about that poor person when they're wandering around the hallway. I mean, that sick feeling
must
come over them.
What would keep the mark, the victim, from going instantly to the police at that moment?
Probably that they made a mistake. They didn't understand what floor that lawyer was on. And then embarrassment. I mean, imagine going into the police station and saying you found some Colombian drug money and you were trying to split it up with some people in the parking lot. And I had to produce money to show the lawyer so he could open up this phony
account. But also, as I was suggesting before, you might very well be wondering whether you also have now committed something that would count as a crime.
And they lead people to believe that. That's like the old rocks in the box scam, you know, where you're out in the parking lot, the guy comes up to you and says, hey, do you want to buy a camcorder or a TV or a VCR? And you agree, and he's got them all, and he shows them to you, and you agree to buy a $1,000 camcorder for $200 to $300. You get home, you open the box up, and all that's in there is a brick and newspaper. What are the chances of you going to the police and saying, listen, I was over in the such-and-such parking lot, and I was trying to, and I bought a stolen camcorder, and instead I got this brick and newspaper. People aren't going to report that.
Now, there's a new area of confidence fraud that has worked very heavily these days, I gather, from what you've been telling me. It's rather like Chicken Little, who ran around saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And you've got other people running around now saying, the millennium is coming, the millennium is coming. And it's very dangerous for you, unless you let me help you, which I'm willing to do for a certain consideration. We need to talk about the many varieties of Y2K fraud. You've been looking into that.
Yes, I have.
Lately, and we'll get right down to it. In fact, you can give me a call and extort some money from me on a Y2K caper. We'll do that right after we pause for these words.
This Sunday's the final day of Swedish Days in Geneva. Don't miss the parade at 1, the Wheaton Symphony's A Salute to Broadway at 5:30, and the fabulous fireworks finale at 9:45 in Geneva, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Rod Beck of the Chicago Cubs. Today I'd like to talk about one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, puppies. I love puppies, especially Cocker Spaniels. Problem is, because of our schedule, I don't get to see my own puppy as much as I'd like to.
Rod.
Hey, Gracie. I was just talking about my puppy. His name is Noodles.
Yeah, that's all very nice. But don't forget, you have a reputation to uphold.
I do?
Rod, you're the Cubs' closer, the shooter. You need to be angry, intimidating. Noodles? Come on.
You're touching nerves here, Mark.
Wait, I know. Talk about those cars you race.
Race cars? Where'd you read that? I don't even drive stick.
Man, next you're going to tell me that's a fake mustache.
It is. Fu Manchu was my idea.
Good one.
Hey, Cubs fans. Saturday, June 26th is All Century Team Commemorative Card Day at Wrigley Field. The first 20,000 adults, 21 and over, receive a commemorative card set, compliments of old style. Don't miss the Cubs play the Philadelphia Phillies at 3:05. For tickets, call 312-831-CUBS.
Catch 35, a Chicago seafood restaurant featuring Block Island swordfish, Chilean sea bass, live Maine lobster, and yellowfin tuna. Catch 35, 35 West Wacker, perfect for lunch or dinner. Only 6 more days. Time is running out to win a $225,000 dream home for $100. Or your 100 could win $150,000 in cash. Here's your chance of making your dreams of a dream home come true. Call for a ticket in the 7th Annual House of Dreams Charity Raffle, sponsored by the Rotary Club of Naperville. Even if your 100 doesn't get the $225,000 home, you could still win a 1999 Ford Mustang or $15,000 cash. Third prize is a Caribbean cruise. There are 19 great prizes and only 9,500 tickets, so odds of winning are really good. Entrance must be 18 or older. It ends June 29th, but will close before if sold out. Tickets are going fast. Act now to win the $225,000 home or $150,000 in cash. Today's orders win extra cash bonuses, so don't delay. Enter now with $100 using Visa or MasterCard. Dial 1-800-CASTLE-2, 1-800-CASTLE-2. The word is CASTLE. Easy to dial, 1-800-CASTLE-2.
Now, from Radio 720, WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
And directly back to our old buddy, Bruce Wahlstad, detective in the Franklin Park Police Department, president for a number of years of PACC, P-A-C-C, Professionals Against Confidence Crime, one of the country's leading experts on confidence crime, and a cop who teaches other cops about how to spot confidence crime, how to block it, how to apprehend the people who perform it. So here I am, let's see, you're going to call me from out of nowhere, so it should be an awkward time for me. That's the way
how
these calls
six,
usually
about come. 6 o'clock when you're eating dinner?
6 o'clock at home at dinner. Phone rings. Hello?
Mr. Rosenberg?
Yeah, right.
How do you do, sir? My name is Bruce Wahlstad. Pleasure to talk to you.
Do I know you?
Do you know me?
I mean,
No. We've never met. Listen, I am from your bank.
Oh, I see.
And we've got some Y2K problems, as you well know. I'm sure you've seen this on the news.
It's funny. We just did about this radio program of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did a discussion on Y2K problems only about a month ago.
Well, then I'm sure you're well aware of the well aware of the problems that exist here. Well, here's what's going on. At the bank, what we're doing is we might have computer problems. Mm-hmm. And the bank doesn't like to admit this openly, so we're calling the customers individually. And what we're doing is, first of all, we need to verify your account number. Now, let me see. If you can get your passbook out, and you have an ATM card too, correct?
Yeah, right.
And the first 3-4 numbers are 1-8-7-6, is that correct?
Yeah.
And if you
can
give me the last 4 numbers
9-2-5-3.
That's correct. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm talking to you. Let's see, that's your ATM. That's your ATM card?
Yeah.
And if you can verify with your 4-digit PIN number, please.
My 4-digit PIN number?
Right, to verify this is you.
You can tell it to me, and I'll tell you whether it's right.
No. I need to know from you.
You need me to prove to you that I am
right.
Me.
Yeah, you're Mr. Rosenberg. It might be out of who. I mean, you're the only one that would know that. I have it in front of me. You need to tell me.
But you called me at my home, so you know it's me.
Yeah, but
I'm a little nervous about giving you mine.
But you could be. I could be talking to the gardener. I just want to make sure.
I see. Well, yeah, you got a point. You guys are pretty careful, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I guess...
Security conscience.
I guess you should be. Yeah, well, it's 2974.
Okay. So, let's see. We got your account number. Okay, now I'm just entering this data, re-entering in the computer right now. And right now, let's see. Okay, your ATM is Y2K compliant now. So, you're all set with that. So, otherwise, what might have happened if you tried to use your ATM card after the first of the year? It might not have worked.
Well... Thank you.
That's taken care of. And let's see here now. Your other accounts, I've got that information right here. And okay. And let's see, they'll follow suit. And you're all set.
Oh, yeah?
Great. Have a nice day, and thanks for your time.
So I'm protected from any Y2K problems.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks a lot. And
you're welcome. And
give my thanks to your colleagues at the bank.
Have a great day, sir.
Thank you, sir. So what happened?
You just gave up your ATM card number and your PIN number to me.
Yes. And you could do anything you want with it.
Oh, I guarantee I'll be at the ATM before you can think twice. Before you, I'm sure in a little while you'll be thinking, you know what, that didn't sound right. You may call the bank. Before you call the bank, I'm at an ATM making withdrawals.
Uh-huh. And how will you know what size withdrawal to? You want to maximize it.
Well, I'll experiment.
You'll put in $30,000 and see what happens.
No. I'll go to a place where there's very few people around, and I'll punch in your numbers and try and take a buck out to see if it works.
Right.
And if it does, I'm set. And then I'll go ahead and make a nice chunky withdrawal as much as I can. You might have a limit of $200. That's fine. I'll get $200 but I've called 5 people today and I've made $1,000 today.
Mm-hmm. Are you a local resident?
I could be.
You're not a traveler who kind of
could be anywhere. Your ATM card will work anywhere in the country as will mine.
You could be calling me from Denver,
sure,
without my knowing it.
That's right.
Hmm. So that's one Y2K caper.
By the way, is your generator operating?
I beg your pardon?
Is your generator operating well, sir?
What generator?
The Y2K generators.
I don't
well, you know, Commonwealth Edison, as you well know, has not completely finished testing their computers for the Y2K turnover.
Oh, yeah.
Because on January 1st, the year 2000, there's a very good chance their computers are going to shut down. I mean, their computers are going to shut down, and everyone's going to be without power.
We're just going to be in the dark?
Absolutely. Unless you can get yourself a generator.
Well, you know, we live in town here. You don't have a big backyard.
And you'll be in the dark,
which
then.
To install a generator.
And imagine how cold it might be. Well, then, you know what? You just may need a heater, then.
A heater?
A nice kerosene heater. Open and crack a window, and you can get yourself a... I can sell you a kerosene heater that will keep your whole apartment warm for $600.
That's a pretty expensive heater, isn't it?
Keeps your whole apartment warm.
One heater will...
And you try buying...
Try
going to the store right now and buying a good kerosene heater, because everyone's preparing for Y2K.
I see. Well, all right. I guess that sounds reasonable. Could you shave the price down a little?
If you bought two.
If you bought two. Well, we have our country home as well.
There you go. You're set. One for each. It's amazing, though, isn't it? I mean, the scams that we've seen appearing in the past few months, especially, and I suspect as we get closer to the end of the year, we're going to see much, much more of this. You know, the paranoia over this Y2K is just getting unbelievable.
Who does this sort of thing? Who are the guys on the other end of the phone?
Well,
do they have a union?
Yeah.
Do they have a professional organization?
You know, a lot of times con games, like we talked about the pigeon drop being 500 years old. That's like one of the evergreens of the business. But a lot of times what's in local, national, and international events or the news will create con games. For example, when the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre in the early part of the 20th century, every con man in the world cashed in instantly and was selling the Mona Lisa. They all said they had it, and they were all selling it.
Mm-hmm.
When radon gas was all the scare a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago, the con men immediately cashed in and were selling radon gas neutralizers door-to-door to people.
They come knock on your door.
Oh, sure.
Have you been tested for radon?
Yeah, they test it, and they say you got radon gas, and they sell you a neutralizer, which is, I mean, it's nothing. You know, it's a piece of, the one I have at home is a piece of PVC piping with two caps and electrical cord. And
they extort how much? From you.
They were $200 each and generally needed three of them.
Yeah.
So they were clipping people $600 for maybe $10 worth of material for these silly devices that did nothing. The cord, you plugged them in, but the cord was tied in the knot.
Well, the more general question that I'm trying to approach now is simply this. Is there a profession of con men, and are con men more or less conversant with one another? Do they have their own secret culture? You know, David Maurer, years ago,
The American Confidence
Man, did that great book, The American Confidence Man, and then his other book, The Big Con.
Mm-hmm.
And as he represented it, there was a whole underworld or subworld of confidence artists, some of them very skilled and great performers, who ran these big con games like The Wire that we started talking about, the one featured in the film The Sting. And they did this full time, and they did it very well. And there was also a hierarchy of prestige for the great artists and the newcomers who would have to get broken in and attach themselves as a journeyman or an apprentice to one of the seniors. Does it still work that way?
Yes. But what you'll find is, for example, the pigeon drop people who do that, they're like a clan of their own. They're like a clique of their own. The guys who do three-card Monty, that's a clique of their own. The people who do the bank examiner, that's a group within themselves. So, yes, and do they teach the younger ones still? Yes, they do.
Another great film, apart from The Sting, which we've mentioned a few times, that appeared more recently, though it must be 10 years or so by now, is Mamet's
House of Games.
House of Games. What game were they playing in that?
That was just a big con designed, that they designed around that psychiatrist's interest in con games, and because she had money. But throughout that, there was several. There was a shortchange scam in there. The pigeon drop was acted out in that. Several really and well-done scams in that film.
So there are guys like that who are full-timers.
Oh, absolutely.
But you also get amateurs or part-time drifters who will play some short con games just to hustle some money quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, you see those, but then you also see, I mean, even the smaller cons, like the pigeon drop, that's considered a small con. The bank examiner, short con is, you know, what the term we use.
Short con or small con, because you can do it in one session.
Right. The way it's generally defined is it takes maybe a matter of minutes to maybe a matter of hours to play out. It's played out for whatever valuables the person has on them or can easily get to.
Right.
And the victims are not hand-picked in advance. They're picked from passers-by from a profile that these people like to
use.
A
profile?
Sure.
What are the tells? What are the giveaways as to who is more or less likely to fall for it?
Over the years, I've had the good opportunity, I guess you could say, to speak to several con men and several con women and interview them in depth about things like that. And they will all tell you things like they profile. For example, I interviewed a guy, I'll call him Tony, which was his nickname. He was a three-card Monty man. And he said his preference to work the three-card Monty scam was on middle-aged, white truck drivers. And I asked him why. He said, well, he said, because for some reason, middle-aged guys, I'm a middle-aged guy. I can associate with him. Truck drivers are lonely. They like to talk to people. And he says, and I had the gift to gab with them. I talked to a woman who did pigeon drops one time, and she told me her profile of a victim was elderly females, and she preferred elderly female whites. Again, they even went down to telling you what race they prefer to work. Now, in this case, this female was a female black, yet she worked female whites, and that was her favorite victim. So it's kind of, and I said, well, why? And she said, well, I have my best success with them. And she said, I don't play men anymore. I used to try men, but she says, men always lie. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, if a woman tells you, I've got $10,000 in the bank, when you go to the bank to get it there, she's got 10 grand in the bank. If a guy tells you he's got 10 grand in the bank, when we get there, if he's got two, I'm lucky. Because, and she'd learned over the years that men lie to her about the amount of money. And then she also mentioned that the men will always try hitting on her too, sexually. And she didn't care for that. So, I mean, you know, through their personal experiences, they will come up with a profile of a victim who they like to go after.
Commercials are going to get in the way every so often, but they're important, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They are, and we'll pause for those. There are many other areas that are very active these days in confidence operations. What's another good one that we should talk about when we return?
Well, we can talk about home repair fraud. We can talk about telemarketing. We can talk about carnival games. We can
telemarketing drives me crazy, as it drives almost everybody crazy. Let's talk about it indeed. We return to Bruce Wahlstedt from the Franklin Park Police Department and specialist in confidence games and rackets. First, these words.
Get what you need in the morning.
Are you in the mood now, Tom? So to speak.
Get college.
The year was 1978. The best known American was Richard Nixon.
Okay.
Billy Graham was number two. Who do you think number three was?
John Travolta.
No, it would have been an athlete. It was an athlete.
No, it wasn't. Unless squeezing were a sport.
The guy from Charmin, Mr.
Whipple. Yes, Mr. Whipple.
The Bob Collins Show.
Now they're bringing Mr. Whipple back.
Going to be squeezing the Charmin again.
Yes, he is.
They're gumming it.
Weekday mornings at 5, Radio 720, WGA.
We need to get away.
No, we need to escape.
Not in this old.
Hey, turn that up.
Conversion Van Great Escape Expo Sale. Now through this Monday at Jovic Chevrolet on U.S. Route 34 in Sandwich. With over 120 new Chevy Astro and Express conversion vans on site. Escape to Jovic Chevrolet, the Midwest number one conversion van discounter. And get cash savings up to $13,000 and financing as low as 2.9% APR. And best of all, with just a test drive, you can escape with 6 free family vacations to places like Orlando with tickets to Disney World. So your escape route this summer is clear. It's up U.S. Route 34 to Sandwich for the Conversion Van Great Escape Expo Sale with over 120 new Chevy conversion vans in stock. Now through this Monday at Jovic Chevrolet.
So, honey, what are we going to do?
We're driving to Sandwich for a new conversion van.
Then we're going to Disney World.
All conversions outfitted by independent suppliers. See owner's manual for info on alterations and warranties. Financing to qualified buyers. Discounts from MSRP. Plus license, title, tax, and dock fee.
At the Land's End Outlet's semi-annual clearance event, you're going to be seeing red and lots of it. Because this year, our super low Clear the Decks prices are marked with red stickers right on our price tags. That way, you'll see just how significant the savings are off our original catalog prices. And the savings aren't just on a few items, but on every piece of men's, women's, and kids' spring and summer overstock clearance merchandise in the store. It's great savings on a great selection of first quality Land's End goods, on the kind of things you can use right now. So come in, see red, and save. Clear the Decks begins June 24th at the Land's End Outlet. It's real Land's End and an honest-to-goodness outlet.
Visit the Land's End Outlet in Chicagoland at any of the following locations. In Niles at Harlem and Dempster. In Lombard behind Yorktown Mall. And in Schaumburg across from Woodfield Mall. The Land's End Outlet. It's real Land's End and an honest-to-goodness outlet. Discover the charm of Bishop Hill, Illinois, a National Historic Village with restored buildings featuring shops, restaurants, bed and breakfast, and more. To plan your visit to Bishop Hill, call 309-927-3345.
Now, from Radio 720, WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
And right back to Bruce Wahlstedt. I needed to sleep late one morning. It was Tuesday morning. I was up kind of late Monday night. And it was about 8:30 and the phone rings, which is too early to call me. It's too early to call anybody, I think. But I figured maybe it was, I had in mind one or two things that are going and where somebody might be giving me a call, particularly something going at the university. So I picked up the phone, and a woman, I can't remember the whole pitch, but she, Mr. Rosenberg, you know, there's first that pause mm-hmm. for about a second or two, a beat or two, which means that you've been automatically dialed, doesn't it?
I think so.
And when you pick up the phone, then they know you're there, and they come to you because the light is flashing, something like that. Mr. Rosenberg, yes. Most people need bill consolidation, whether they know it or not, and we've got a plan which, clunk. You know, I just hung up on her. Sometimes I really give them hell, or at least give them some scorn. But I was just so fatigued and so annoyed. And really, I needed to sleep a little bit longer, and it messed up my morning.
Yeah, Congress estimates that we as a public lose $40 billion a year to fraudulent telemarketers.
That's a big number. That number surprises me.
Yeah,
this was probably not fraudulent. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't fraudulent. I didn't give her time to tell me. If they call me to sell me a subscription to TV Guide or something, that's not fraudulent.
Exactly. No, not at all. But I'm just saying, in the area of fraud alone, where people are told they've won contests, and or you know, we're going to sell you these vitamins, but in order to get the prize, and I mean, you know, the list just goes on and on. It's just terrible.
Well, how could you tell? What are the giveaways to indicate that you're dealing with a really fraudulent operation in a telemarketing form, as compared to something legitimate but annoying?
Well, I think let's take the contest scams, first of all. I mean, if you've legitimately won a contest, I don't think they're going to call you up on the phone. Maybe they do, but I don't think they do. And they're not going to scream on the phone, you just won $25,000 or $1 million, but in order to get it, you have to send us $4,000 to pay the taxes. I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's like we talked about.
Do they really do it that simply?
Oh, sure,
stupid.
Yeah. But again, hey, you're going to get $25,000. There was a videotape I saw that AARP put out, and there was one woman, an elderly woman, and she had paid over a period of, like, I think a year, $300,000 to one telemarketing firm because she had won $1 million, and she kept having to pay in for the lawyer's fees, for these fees, for that fees, and they clipped her for $300,000. And she never got the million. There was
so
no
if you
prize.
Find a good victim, you don't necessarily let go at all.
Oh, no, they'll go back to them. There's actually different grades of sucker lists that are out there. In other words, you know, if you've been bilked several times, you know, you're up in the gold list or the A list, whatever they want to call it, and you'll get pretty regular
calls. There's somebody
calls.
Who puts those lists together and markets them.
Well, I don't know if they really market those really good lists. I mean, you probably pay dearly for one of those lists.
Uh-huh.
I handled a case just the other day for a guy. And he's an old retired guy in my community, and he's getting hit like crazy with telemarketers, you know what I mean? And he got into a little sparring match with one of them, and then the guy actually got angry at him and started making prank phone calls to him hanging up. And so the guy had his phone trapped, and we were able to trace it back to a telemarketing company in Arizona, and I wound up talking to the guy, some president or something, and told him, you know, we wanted to arrest that telemarketer, and boy, he took him off the list immediately. So, but since then, he hasn't gotten any phone calls either.
What was he trying to sell to your friend?
It was a promotional thing where it was a fundraiser where he was supposed to give money. They went to some DARE program. But in reality, it didn't, from what I understood, from what I learned, a very, very small percentage, like 2% of what he actually gave went to the DARE program. And a lot of times these are just fraudulent things where they say we're going to give money to the local police departments, mm-hmm. or we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it never happens.
Exactly so. A number of years ago, a young man called me, middle of the afternoon, and I happened to be at home. And he was telling me that he represented some association of police, and he knew that I appreciated all the good work that police do for us, and so wouldn't I like to buy some tickets to a raffle that they were running or something like that. And I probably wouldn't win, or if... No, it wasn't a raffle at all. It was to some big occasion, a ball of some kind, but it was being held in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But If I bought tickets, that would be very helpful to this national police organization. And if I happen to be intending to come to St. Louis anyway, well, I could attend the ball, though it would be pretty crowded. And what we want from you is $100, $200, ooh, whatever it was. And I knew I was being played for even more of a fool than I am.
Well, see, that might have been legitimate.
It might have been legitimate.
I can't imagine why. Well, I don't know.
Well, my next step was to say, well, now, give me the name of the head of your organization. He wouldn't do it.
Oh, well, then it's over. Sure.
I said, well, let me talk to your supervisor. Really? What do you mean, supervisor? I'm just a cop. I said, well, if you're a cop, you must have others that you're associated with. Who in your organization can I talk to other than you? At that point, he did hang up.
Yeah. But, you know, what I always tell people is this, you know, if people call you on the phone, like for charities, let's use the charities, for example. When these charity people call me, I always tell them, listen, I have my own charities, and I give to those. And I tell, when I speak publicly, I tell people the same thing. Hey, if somebody calls you up wanting you to give to this cause, that cause, that's fine and dandy. But, I mean, we all have our favorite charities, whether it be the Salvation Army or the United Way or Catholic Charities or WGN's Neediest Children's Fund, whatever your charity is, give to that. You don't need to be giving to people on the phone.
I would bet that in times of great distress, it's pretty easy to do this kind of fraudulent hustling. As, for example, right now, I should think a great target group would be Albanians living in this country.
Oh, I'm sure.
You can call them and say, we've organized Kosovo relief, or we're going to be buying
shoes. But do they have any money? I mean, sure. I mean, you know, and...
A fund to buy shoes for Albanian, for Kosovar kids.
And who's to say this isn't probably being done?
It probably is being done legitimately as well. But how can you tell the difference?
I don't think you can. Yeah. So what I always do is in those cases, you tell people, listen, send it to me in writing. You know, ask questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like the things like, oh, we need your credit card so we can do it right now. I would never give my credit card to anybody who ever called me over the phone.
Of course not.
You know, but people do it. I love Jerry Seinfeld's response from the old Seinfeld show when the telemarketer called him. He said, hey, do me a favor. I'm kind of busy right now. Give me your name and home phone number, and I'll call you back tonight. And, well, people hang up. You know, I tried that a couple times, and they say, oh, you watch Seinfeld too, huh?
But listen, you say you would never give, you would never give your credit card number on the phone to anybody. But you're watching television, and there's an ad for 50 of the greatest country music
with that exception.
Tunes.
If I
call in and you can order it for such and such an amount of money, it'll be with
call.
You in a week.
If I initiate the call, that's fine. If you're calling up somebody like department store Sears or Ward's,
and they have
your
credit card.
Sure, because you're initiating the call. But if someone calls you trying to sell you something,
the
last thing in the world you want to do is give them your credit card number.
How are they doing these days in fleecing the old folks? When you and I have talked
out
before,
of control.
That's always been one of the main areas of confidence operations.
Out of control.
How so?
You name it, they're doing it to them. The elderly in our country are the number one victims of fraud. State police in Illinois here did a survey, a little statistical survey several years ago, polling all kinds of police departments, looking at police reports. They found that like 90-some percent of all con games and frauds that reported to the police, the elderly were the victims. Number one victims.
And what's the number one particular fraud worked on elderly people?
Well, actually, the Jim Ryan, the Attorney General, just let out the new statistics, and it, once again, for I think the third year in a row, home repair fraud, top of the list. There it is.
How does that one work? I'm an old guy at home.
Sitting on your front porch, and I pull up in my pickup truck and offer to do some work around your house. Hey, I got some sealant left over on my truck.
Some what?
Sealer for your driveway.
Well, my driveway's kind of cracked up.
Listen, I can make it like new, and it'll last for 20 years. It'll have a shine you won't believe. But here's the deal. I did a driveway down the street. I got material left over. I just got, if I don't use it up, it's going to go to waste. So I'll tell you what, I'll just charge you for the material.
Well, you mean you won't charge me for your labor?
No, you look like a nice old guy. I'd like to help you out and fix your driveway up.
I'm not so old.
Can I call you Dad? You look a lot like my dad.
Do I? Yeah. Well, you look a lot like my son. I gotta admit that. Yeah, well, you're in this business all the time, are you?
Full time, professional.
Yeah. Professional what? What do you call guys?
Seal coder.
Seal coder, of course, right. Yeah, sure. And so that seal coat.
I'll fill those cracks, and your driveway will be good for 20 years.
Well, what will it cost me, though?
Whatever the material costs. I would guess probably, let's see, $40.
$40?
That's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long will it take you to do it?
Half an hour, 45 minutes.
And
professional job.
You can do it right now?
I'll get the sprayer out.
Well, go ahead. $40, my golly.
Well, by the time I get done,
your
driveway hasn't been done in quite a while. I'd get partway done, and I'd approach you and say, when's the last time you had this done? It's been several years, hasn't it?
Well, yes, it has been.
It's going to need two coats. That's the problem.
Oh, yes?
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, actually, I'm probably using twice as much material, so it's probably going to be $80.
I see. Well,
now, do you want me to fill the cracks, too?
Well, sure.
Okay, I'll get to that. And that'll probably be about 200 because I have to use the special crack filler.
Well, you, but wait, now wait, you started saying 40.
I can do the $40 job, but I'll give your coat one. Your driveway's only going to have one coat. It won't look good. I want to give it the professional job.
Yeah, but now you're talking about some special sealant for the cracks?
Right, no, it's crack filler. It's a different material.
Oh, it is. I see.
And otherwise, those cracks.
So what will my total be then?
Well, you're at 280 right now.
280.
Mm-hmm.
And when will you be done?
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah? Well, it's a little bit more than I thought I was going to have to pay, but since
guaranteed for 10 years.
For 10 years?
Yep.
Yeah. You said 20 years before.
No, it will last for 20, but the boss will guarantee it for 10.
I see. Well, to coin a phrase, what the hell? Go ahead.
You got it.
All right.
And I'd finish up, and I might even clip a few extra dollars on the end telling you something else that, I had to do this or that.
Yeah.
And clip you for $300-$400, you know, for maybe using $5 worth of materials.
And you haven't done a very good job either, I guess.
Probably not. Or I can trim your trees for $5. How would that be?
But that'd be fine.
And I get all done, and then I charge you $800. And you said, what happened to the five? Hey, it was $5 a branch.
Yes.
We didn't have that clear.
Well, you did a variant of that on the one night when we were talking about this with regard to the driveway, putting the sealant on the driveway. Namely, that the $40 or the $10, whatever it turns out to be, per inch.
That's right. Well, see, a lot of times...
multiply by all the inches, and you come up with $3,000.
Over the years, I've arrested many people who do this type of thing.
Yeah.
And I have many informants who I talk to who are into this. And what they'll tell you is that they prey strictly upon the elderly in these scams.
Yeah.
And they play them for their mental state at the moment. In other words, like if you're a sharp old guy, they may only clip you for $200. If the next old lady or the old man or whoever they happen to go to is like fading in and out at moments, maybe has a little memory problem, all of a sudden it goes up to $2,000.
Isn't there another angle on this, another variation? If the woman has pretty cloudy mentality and she's home alone, or even if her husband is at home and he's equally clouded, they might, a few of them, get into your house supposedly to do some job that they've offered to do for you at a low fee, and in fact distract you while they rob your house.
And commit a burglary, that's right. Yeah, but that a lot of times we in law enforcement, actually, we divide that up into two categories. There's what we call this home repair fraud is what we're talking about,
yeah,
where they do some sort of work. And then the second one is more or less residential burglary, or sometimes it's home invasion. And we call it the ruse entry, because these are the guys who pose as people from the gas company, the light company, and they need to get into your house to check something. There's been several cases recently, Milt, that are just phenomenal. There was a case that comes out of Will County right now. They got into this old senior's home, $300,000.
How do you do that?
They had the money in the safe. They distracted them, said they were from the utility company, and kept the, I think it was a man and a woman, got them outside, kept them busy while the other two drugged the safe out of the house. $300,000.
They didn't break the safe open. They
no,
just took the
well,
safe
they couldn't get it open
out of
that.
The house.
Yeah. And then there was a case that just came out of West Chicago, too, recently, that area out there. And there was a senior out there got clipped for the same type of thing. They told them that they were one that from the water company or the gas company or something to get into the house, keep them busy. One keeps them like running water or turning light switches on and off, and $60,000.
Another variance that I know you've told me about before is that they are instead going to inspect the heating system and the
sure.
furnace.
Oh, yeah.
And what they do is break up your furnace.
Damage
once they
furnace.
Get down there.
That's right.
And then tell you got a damaged furnace.
And it is damaged, too, after they finished it.
The whole house will blow up unless, what?
You get a new furnace from me.
For how much money?
Oh, usually two or three times what it's worth. I got a report recently from the Better Business Bureau, and it talked about one case history about one elderly man who over a period of like 4 years bought three new furnaces from the same furnace company. Three new furnaces over a period of just a few years. They kept scaring this guy half to death.
You can really play on the senescent, can't you?
Oh, sure.
The senile may wind up in nursing homes, but the person who's kind of blurred in mentality.
Well, we've seen cases where they go to people's home and say, you know, like I started with you about seal coating the driveway, and
yeah.
they see the person is cloudy, as you use the term,
yeah.
and very cloudy, and they'll say, I can fix your driveway for $20,000. Yeah, go ahead. And they do, and they collect $20,000 and drive away. So it depends on the mental state, too, of the victim.
Well, I don't know how that
with.
Guy who's so cloudy, even though he says go ahead, would necessarily come up with the $20,000.
Well, now, okay, let's say you've got a, let's say it's an elderly female,
yeah.
and she's 75 years old, living alone, and she agrees to the $40 job. Next thing you know, it's up to $2,000 by the time they get done, and they're trying to collect her $2,000 or $3,000 from her, and she's going, I'm not paying. All of a sudden, you've got two big guys standing over you going, we want our money.
Oh, yeah?
So maybe there's some intimidation involved. Would they harm her? Probably not. Were they intimidated to get the money? Absolutely.
I've got to ask you quite directly, who is involved in doing this kind of very special and very unattractive con? It's one thing to kind of hustle somebody on the street for a few bucks. It's another thing to victimize the old and to do this by talking your way into their homes. Who does it?
Well, there's two groups we in law enforcement know do this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And the first would be a group that we call self-described gypsies, and the second would be the travelers. And we'll take the gypsies first. These are people that, which you well know over the years, you've interviewed some gypsies on this program. But defining that word is a very difficult issue. I mean, over the years, I mean, I teach about that topic to other police officers.
Well, gypsy has a real word. I mean, gypsies are people who came out of India probably... About a thousand years ago. And they call themselves the Rom, R-O-M, and they speak Romani. And to the extent that they maintain their continuing authentic culture, it's different from most other Western or European cultures.
That's correct.
And they will usually deny that theft is part of the culture, or some will acknowledge that since they were persecuted, and God knows they were, throughout Europe, and the ultimate measure of that was that there was a gypsy holocaust run by the Nazis.
Half a million.
In which at least half a million were probably killed alongside the 6 million Jews.
That's right.
And if they turn to various modes of quick criminal activity to raise some money or to live by that money, one, to understand all is not to forgive all, but all the same, one can, if one understands that, one sees that it has some sort of authentic or meaningful history. But on the other hand, I would have to ask you, do people who are really gypsy, who are really Rom, still in any significant number, practice these dubious methods in our country these days?
Yes. A very big resounding yes. And we deal with several different gypsy groups in and around the Chicagoland area. We have what's called American gypsies, we have Polish gypsies, we have Yugoslavian gypsies. Each of these subcultures exists here in Chicago to some degree or another. They're all involved in very, very particular types of crime, which allows us to single that group out
You wouldn't contend that all of them are involved in crime.
Oh, no, absolutely not. We're talking about...
The Yugoslavian gypsies, for example, are most of them musicians in Chicago, and are very busy playing not merely gypsy music, but any kind of music in bands around town.
But they're the group that I'm talking about actually live a criminal lifestyle to some sort or another. Not all of them, of course, are criminals, but the ones... See, the problem is in law enforcement, the only ones we deal with is the criminal element. We know that amongst the gypsy population that there's people who are live a mainstream life just like you and I do. I mean, there are doctors, there's lawyers, there's policemen, salesmen, musicians. But if you were to, most of the time, if you have a conversation with them about ethnic background and say, hey, you know, I happen to be Swedish and Norwegian, what are you? Chances are they're not going to say, oh, by the way, I'm a gypsy, just because of the negative things attached to that word. So when you do interact with a gypsy who lives a mainstream life, chances are he's not going to talk about his background because of all the negative things attached to that word.
Of course, when ordinary people who are not themselves the Rom, are not gypsies, think about gypsies, one thing that comes immediately to mind is the gypsy lady who does the fortune-telling.
Oh, boy.
That, in fact, is a kind of setting in which you can work some pretty significant con of a rather classic variety.
Let me tell you, that gypsy fortune-telling scams, I mean, if you look in and around the Chicagoland area, there's probably anywhere between 150 to 200 of those parlors that exist.
That's right, yeah.
And I guarantee you, in each and every one of them, on a daily basis, somebody is cursed, and somebody's paying money to those people to have the curse removed. I mean, the scams, I mean, and the money that...
Or they're being told that their money is cursed.
Oh, sure.
And you got to bring the money in to get it somehow cleansed.
Yeah, cleanse it. Or you hear, or one of my favorites is you have to pin the money in your underwear, like $666 for 6 hours or 6 days, and bring it in to me and I'll burn it for you. Yeah, right, I'll burn it. Or, you know, tape the money, go to the cemetery at midnight, tape $100 bills in the shape of a cross on your chest for 10 minutes and lay on a cold gravestone and come to me tomorrow morning. Or I want you urinating in a jar, spitting it 3 times and bring me that tomorrow morning. I mean, a lot of these are compliancy tests, too, to see how compliant the victim is. I mean, they have them do crazy stuff. But I'll tell you, I mean, you know, I mean, I know your views on the psychic world are the same as mine. I don't believe it, you know what I mean, until someone can prove it. But, I mean, what they do is, you know, they just test people to see how far they can push them. Losses. There's cases where people have given like up to $500,000 to these fortune tellers to have curses removed. In this day and age, it still works. When the gypsies first came to the Americas in the mid-1600s, they were mending pots and pans, trading horses, and telling fortunes.
Who are the travelers that you mentioned before?
These are people that are of English, Irish, and Scottish descent. And they're often, another term that's used with them sometimes is the word tinker. And we in law enforcement have a real problem because the crimes they commit, this home repair fraud, the Ruth's Entry scams that we talked about, they also do that the same as the American gypsies do. So a lot of times we may have the travelers in town, we may have the gypsies in town, and it's hard to distinguish at times who's committing the crimes.
There's a group of people who live someplace down in the South. Is it in South Carolina or North Carolina?
South Carolina, Murphy Village, right outside of
Columbia.
And
they are travelers, right?
They are Irish travelers.
Irish travelers.
And there's 3,000 of them. They estimate between 2,000 and 3,000 that live in that little community. They're all related in some form or another. And there's only 9 last names. Matter of fact, we just had some of them in and around the Chicagoland area probably a month ago. I stopped a guy in our town passing through from Murphy Village, and he was one of them, and saw that pickup truck.
What are some of the last names?
Sherlock, Riley, you know, very true.
Well, there are a lot of Rileys around who aren't travelers.
Well, no, but sure. I mean, me and my partner happened to be going down the street and spotted a truck from South Carolina. He didn't use his turn signal, and one of his brake lights was out. We stopped
him. A truck. They're usually hustling large equipment of some kind.
That's another one of their scams. I don't know if you can call it a scam. I mean, it's against the law in Illinois for what they do.
What were they selling?
Shop equipment.
Shop equipment?
Yeah, shop equipment and tools. And it's a bearing press, a lifting device, a floor jack, and they purport this stuff to be worth like $10,000.
And it's really worth what?
$600-700 tops. And then they show you some hokey invoice saying it's worth the $10,000. The boss said, listen, rather than send it back to get it repainted or something, we're at a trade show, and then just make me an offer on it.
They got stories for every case.
Oh, yeah, and then let's see, the guy says, well, it's worth 10, I'll give you 4.
But these guys are engaged in regular fraud, you're saying?
Oh, sure.
And they're well known for it.
Yes.
And they live in one location.
That's this particular group, yes.
Then how come nobody goes after them?
Well, the problem is, how do you go after them? I mean, what do you do? For example, how about this? The IRS comes after you and says, hey, you live this really interesting lifestyle. You've got this magnificent home. You drive beautiful cars, and you have no source of income. How do you do this? Well, when my parents came to this country 20 years ago, they smuggled in $10 million in cash. And it's buried out in my backyard, and when we spend money, we go out in the suitcase and take it. And you prove differently. You prove differently that I don't have money stashed and wasn't given to me by my parents, or when I came here 20 years ago, I brought it with me. It's very difficult.
Well, couldn't I get a court order to dig up your backyard?
For what purpose? I don't really keep it there. I just use that expression.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you prove differently. But I know it's a fact that there are law enforcement groups looking at these people, you know, and hopefully maybe someday something will happen. But they do live, I think that's what troubles many people like yourself and me too, is they live this very outlandish lifestyle, live in these homes that are worth $300,000-$500,000. And this is in rural South Carolina, the value of these homes. I mean, put them here, they're million-dollar homes, and these people have no source of income.
Hmm.
Extraordinary.
I'm not sure I should leave this studio tonight. It sounds like every place you go, you're in danger.
You could
be. In danger of being fleeced, or worse.
Yeah. There's nobody exempt. No one's exempt from this. If one scam doesn't get you, another one will. Guaranteed.
I've told you that for years there have been people scamming up and down right here on Michigan Avenue outside the Tribune Building.
The jewelry sales.
Jewelry sales, but others too. You know, the guy or the woman usually who... there was one who was doing the street for a few months, and her story was some sort of cockeyed thing. She was out of money. She'd lost her money, or her car had broken down. She had to get back to someplace in Indiana to her kids. She was literally going from person to person to person. And it was all very specious and obviously fake. A good-looking young woman. It was strange that she needed to bother with this rather than find some other way of earning
money. But now, see, that's an interesting thing you just brought out, a good-looking young woman.
Yeah.
She dressed that way on purpose. I remember one time you were telling me about a guy in a three-piece suit down here saying his car broke down.
Same deal.
He gave you $10 for gas, and he looked very nice and handsome and like a businessman, and he would give you a copy of his driver's license and send you the money tomorrow.
Right.
And that's part of his thing. See, that's an interesting thing that con men do. They'll mix up race, color, sex, and age. In other words, you might be on the street and an old... female African-American approaches you with some story, and all of a sudden a young white male walks up to you and says, hey, and by the way, the female African-American is dressed magnificently, and this young white guy comes up, and he's kind of looks like a street guy, and they're both working on you. Guess what? They're working together. And their appearance is to throw you off, and the color and the age difference, that's the purpose of all that. You know how I always compare it? When I speak publicly, I always use this. I say, listen, you know, people say, what is a con game? How do you explain it? Well, I said, think about a play. What are the components of a play? There's actors and actresses. There's your con men. There's costumes. They dress to fit a certain role. There's props, like in the Pigeon Drop, the found money.
Uh-huh.
There's the storyline. There's scenery. They all like to work their con games in particular areas. And they all end the same way, though, by the way, with the victim smiling, going, here, take my money.
In London, a few years ago, I was spending some time dropping in at the British Museum for a week or two for some work I was trying to do, and also just indulging myself. And in the streets around the British Museum, there were two or three different women, all of whom, with Irish brogue, whether real or affected, I don't know, and each of them trailing at least one kid. Sometimes one of them had two kids. And the story was, well, we're starving, and I got to take care of me children. And would you help us, sir? You look like a man who really would like to do good for poor people who are down on their luck. And it was the same line, me starving children. There in hand.
How can you say no?
Well, in fact, I couldn't in every instance, though I wondered whether I was being taken. Do you think I will?
Oh, I'm sure of it. Well, you heard Bob Collins the other morning. He was talking about, he was reading something out of one of the local newspapers about a reporter who had, some guy approached him right out here on the street somewhere in this area and said that his daughter had died and he needed money for the funeral, to get flowers or something. And the reporter investigated a little bit and went back to where the guy said he worked. And the guy said, oh, no, we fired that guy. He did work here briefly, but he was scamming people, telling them his daughter died.
Now, here's the deal. It's a little bit after 10. We're going to stop for some commercials. And we're opening the phone lines right now. 591-7200 is, of course, the number. 591-7200. We'd like to hear from people who've had experiences, who have been fleeced, have a sad story to tell. We'd like to hear from people who are wondering whether a particular offer that's been made or a particular contact that was attempted was the beginning of a con operation, or whether those are false and unnecessary suspicions. And, of course, we would love it, wouldn't we, if some people who practice con, big, small, or middle-sized, would give us a call and, under the cloak of absolute anonymity, we can't trace their calls, we don't intend to, would tell us how they operate.
We'd love to hear that. Like I said, I've had the good fortune to interview many of these people, and they always have a great story to tell.
Yeah. So, any and all are invited to give us a call, including real con persons, men or male or female. 591-7200, the number, 591-7200, and we return to Bruce Wahlstedt and on to your calls right after these words.
If the temperature in Chicago seems hotter than normal this summer, it's not global warming.
It's the Chicago Fire, defending Major League Soccer world champions, burning up the competition. If you're a Fire fanatic, CLTV has a show for you. Sports Page on Fire. Watch highlights, get game previews, and talk live one-on-one with the Chicago Fire. Sports Page on Fire is the hottest sports call-in show on television. Sports Page on Fire, Tuesday nights at 9, only on CLTV. Looks like we're in for a hot summer.
Ugh, the stuff is so messy and smelly. If that's the way you feel about products for sore muscles and minor arthritis pain, you're not alone. Most muscle rubs are medicine-y smelling and definitely greasy feeling. They can even stain your clothes and sheets. Not Absorbine Junior. It's 100% non-greasy. Plus, Absorbine's liquid fast herbal formula and hands-free applicator speed pain relief quicker than creams or gels. So next time, reach for clean, fast-penetrating Absorbine Junior. Use only as directed.
The Radio 720 Grand Slam Game. It means $720 cash. Every day the Cubs play, you've got a chance to win a new draw, but you can't win if we don't have your name, age, address, and phone number. Mail those stats to Cubs Grand Slam Game, 435 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, 60611.
Check out the Daily Herald every Tuesday for your official entry. Brought to you by Old Style, Cellular One, Ed DeBevick, Jiffy Lube, the Wickstrom Dealers, ATA, and Radio 720. WGN.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi, hon.
Whoa. Well, gotta go.
My husband and I have to travel for business a lot, so we're not always together a lot. Luckily, we're both members of Starwood Preferred Guest, the rewards program that combines the best hotels in the world, like Westin, Sheraton, the Luxury Collection, Caesars, Four Points, and W Hotels. And this summer, that means free Fridays. It's simple. With just 5 paid nights this summer, we can get up to 3 Friday nights for free. And because there are never any blackout dates, we can go when we want to any place we want. I mean, for us, that could very well be the next time we'll get to see each other again.
Oh, man. Forgot my toothbrush.
Romantically, at least.
To register and find out more about Free Fridays and to become a Starwood Preferred Guest, call 1-877-STARWOOD or visit starwood.com. Terms and conditions apply. Starwood Preferred Guest. Be one.
Now, from Radio 720 WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
And I guess it's the Conracket Seminar tonight, and we're ready for your contributions to the seminar. My guest, Bruce Wahlstad, detective in the Franklin Park Police Department and instructor of police and other justice administration types around the country as he runs training seminars on the many forms of fraud, some of which we've been discussing tonight. 591-7200 is the number. And we'll go directly to the first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, Milt. How are you?
Fine, sir.
My name's Tony. I live out in the North Lake area, detective. I'm up by you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Some time ago, about 8 years ago, I used to sell on Maxwell Street. And we had just got done selling for the day. We sold pies, and this guy must have been watching us all day. We had a pretty good day that day. He approached me and my brother-in-law with a book. And inside this book were a collection of stamps, coins, old bearer bonds, and assorted other old documents. And they were marked meticulously and captured in, like, slide frames. And the net worth of the book, if you took it at face value, was somewhere around $150,000. So between the two of us, we decided it looked pretty legit. The guy had a pretty legit story. We bought it. It cost us $1,500. That's what we had for the take for the day. We brought it to a numismatist. It cost him probably about $125 to put this book together.
Ooh.
It was you talk about a professional con. That was a professional con.
Jeez.
And there's one other one that's going on now, and, you know, it's really hard to approach it. It's legal, but it's a con. These guys who are out, I've been in the meat industry for about 12 years. There's a lot of guys out on the street selling meat to people. And that product, if they take a look at it, it's going somewhere around $8 to $10 a pound for what they're buying. And
as a matter of fact, they came to my house about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Some guy tried to sell me some steaks. And I remember the last time I had encountered these people selling the steaks door to door, the village of Franklin Park, there helped the officer had arrested them, and they sent this meat. I'm not saying all these companies are like this, but they sent the meat off to be tested, and the bacterial level was like 10,000 times above the limit.
Where are they getting the meat, would you guess?
Well, what they do is you can buy this meat cryovac from several different purveyors, even in the Chicagoland area. But the hook on this deal is they'll show you a box with four or six T-bone steaks in it that are actually cow meat pumped full of tenderizer. And also included in this box is a tremendous amount of hamburger and real cheap loin end pork chops. And they tell you that you're buying steaks, but what you're buying is meat that probably nets out at somewhere around $1 a pound, $1.20 a pound, and they're selling it for a value of somewhere between $8 and $10 a pound.
Ouch.
And they tell you that, well, you're only paying, you know, $1 or $1.75 per cut, but they forget to tell you that you're buying 36 hamburgers in here and, you know, another 20 or 40 pork chops that you could buy for somewhere in there 50 cents or up there 90 cents.
Do I understand, sir, that you are in or have been in the meat, or rather in the food vending business?
Oh, yes. I've been I'm in the transportation end and the supply end of meat and
products. Are you suggesting then that lots of people who prepare food and sell it in restaurants or on street stands sell it to the public are using such contaminated meat?
Not that it's contaminated, Milt. The problem is that this meat is frozen. It's cryovac and then frozen. And then what they do is they put them in pickup trucks.
With dry ice.
And they're out all day long, and they have to sell this product. Now, the product then thaws and then is refrozen. Every piece of food you purchase has a certain content of bacteria in it.
Right.
And as that meat reaches a certain temperature, that bacteria begins to multiply. They refreeze it, and it just refreezes that bacteria. And as it reaches room temperature again, it then begins to promulgate the growth of the bacteria. So there is no control, solid control of temperature on that meat.
Most villages don't give permits even to those people to operate, you know, because they don't meet the minimum health standards of their vehicles.
Right.
Yeah, well,
you scared the hell out of me. Thanks very much for the call.
Have a good night.
Glad to have heard from you. The number, 591-7200, 591-7200, and one or two lines available right now if you want to join us. Move quickly. If you've been trying, try again. And here is the next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, there was a lady that used to be by Sears, by Six Corners all the time. They used to act like she was blind. And some guy used to pick her up in a Cadillac all the time and drop her off. And she'd walk around going, can you help me today? Thank you. And one of the ladies that works in Sears was telling my mother and I one time that they offered her a job in Sears, and she told them no, she could make more money panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy Eric came up to her one day and pulled out a dollar bill and says, all I got is a 20. He says, you give me 10 bucks and I'll give you this 20. And she like opened her eyes real fast and closed them real fast and says, I don't have change for that. Get out of here.
Really?
And she chased them away.
There was a thing, I think one of the local news outlets here in Chicago did about somebody doing the exact same thing, and they followed them home, and they lived in a beautiful home, had nice cars in the driveway, and but this is their job, and they feel that this is acceptable practice.
Yeah, she says she makes more money panhandling than she would on any job.
And she's probably right. I mean,
what does one to assume about the rather bedraggled guys who stand at the corner, sometimes even at a stoplight on the outer drive, with a little hand-lettered sign on cardboard, which if you try to scrutinize it tells you, I'm a veteran, don't have a home, can you help? I usually assume that they're real.
They could very well be. But, I mean, to me, I mean, get a job, get a life. I mean,
well, sure.
I mean, I like those signs that say, we'll work for food. I know people who have gone and say, hey, you can mow my lawn, I'll give you dinner. Oh, no, I can't do that. I mean, I've had them actually go and ask those guys.
You know, another thing I do, if they come up to me and ask for money, I'll offer them, buy them something to eat. And if they don't want nothing to eat, if they'd rather have the money, I tell them, no, I don't believe in giving you money. If you want something to eat, I'll go to the restaurant and get you something to eat.
I know people who do that, too. You know, they'll try them out.
And, you know, but a lot of them won't take the food. They'd rather have the money. And I told them, no, I said, I don't believe in that.
Well, the money's for a pack of cigarettes and a six-pack later.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Good to have heard from you. And we're still waiting for, and will all night hope for, a call from somebody who's played the con rackets at the Manipulate event.
Oh, I think someone's going to call tonight.
I hope so. You've got your anonymity assured. We'd love to hear what you've got to tell us about your art and how you have practiced it, whether you are now a repentant or whether you still take pride in your special skills. 591-7200, the number. A few lines are available. If you've tried to reach us, try again. If you're moved to do so for the first time, move quickly. 591-7200, and we return right after these words.
It's Majestic Star Casino's 3-year anniversary, and we're giving away the world. In honor of our anniversary, we've decided to give away the vacation of a lifetime. On June 30th, one of our Lucky Club Majestic members will win an all-expense-paid trip for four around the world. Fiji, Italy, France, and Singapore are just a few of the magnificent destinations featured on this trip. First-class accommodations, airfare, tours, and meals are all included to make this a dream vacation you'll never forget. And the winning doesn't stop there. We're giving away even more trips during the month of June, and we're sure you'll want to come in each week for your chance to win. On June 9th, you could win a trip for two to London, England. Paris, France awaits you on our June 16th drawing. On June 23rd, a trip to Sydney, Australia will be given away. And of course, on June 30th, Majestic Star Casino will give away the world. So hurry into Majestic Star Casino to win an entry. After all, it's not every day someone gives you the world. See Casino for complete details.
Every night, the Ravinia Festival offers music and entertainment under the stars. Admired singing actress Catherine Malfitano makes her long-awaited first appearance at Ravinia when she joins the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and Christoph Eschenbach in their first concert of this year's Ravinia season. This evening of first takes place Friday, June 25th at 8, with a program that includes Beethoven's First Symphony and scenes from Malfitano's signature work, Richard Strauss's Salome. Then, on Sunday, June 27th, spend an evening in Paris with the CSO and Eschenbach. Listen to musical favorites by French composers, including Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique. The festivities continue on June 29th when German soprano Christine Schaefer gives her Chicago-area recital debut in a program that includes songs by Schubert and Debussy.
For tickets to these and other concerts, call area code 847-266-5100 or visit www.ravinia.org.
John Madden here. Hey, now that June has come, you've probably got those major spring lawn and garden projects out of the way. But you still need to maintain that yard to keep it looking its best. Either way, look to the folks in the red vest, your helpful hardware folks today, and enjoy your yard this summer.
There's no better way to enjoy your yard than to fire up the grill at sunset. And there's no better grill than a Weber, the industry leader in quality, durability, and cooking performance. You see, every Weber gas barbecue features the exclusive flavorizer system for perfectly controlled grilling without flare-ups. So stop by your participating neighborhood Ace and check out a Weber Genesis gas barbecue and the full line of Weber accessories, too. They've got everything for perfect grilling with Weber. The legend lives on right in your backyard.
Enjoy your yard this summer with the help of the folks in the red vest, because Ace is a place with the helpful hardware folks. Your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Ace retailers are here to help, so stop in today.
Now, from Radio 720 WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
And we return to Bruce Wahlstedt and directly back to your calls forum as we continue our general discussion on confidence games, on fraud. What are the other terms commonly used for this?
Swindles, scams,
swindle, scams,
rackets, con games.
Right. And they've gone on since... What's the first record we have of a scam?
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Adam and Eve and that apple. I don't know.
I bet you it turns up in some of the Roman playwrights, in Plautus and Terence, or
I'm sure it does.
Somebody like that.
I'm sure it does.
And it must be in Aristophanes as well, in ancient Greece.
Who knows?
A classical scholar who's listening knows, and I invite him or her to call and tell us.
The earliest one I've got is a reprint of an old English publication, and it goes back into like the 15th century, and it talks about the pigeon drop at that time, which was called ring falling.
Uh-huh.
And they described it, instead of finding the bundle of money or the package of money, they'd find that it said that some simplest looking person would be walking down the path, and they'd throw this something or another gold signet ring out in front of them, and when they'd go to pick it up, the other guy'd run up and say, oh, look at the ring we found, let's go to the tavern and talk about it.
Huh.
And that was the pigeon drop 400 or 500 years ago.
The very same game.
Yep.
Yeah, wonderful. 591-7200 is the number, and we go to the next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening. My mother fell for a bunch of phone scams. We figure that started off at one time she called me real excited and thought she'd won $1 million from Publishers Clearinghouse, and she sent in the thing, and shortly thereafter she started getting phone calls. And it was typically, congratulations, Mrs. Rhodes, you've won, whatever. Just send or just write a check for $200, and UPS man or some other delivery man will pick up your check and deliver your goods. And over a period of time, when we finally found out what had been happening, we figured she'd been scammed for about $10,000.
That's awful. Did she ever get any type of prizes at all?
Oh, she got a bunch of junky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did get a bunch of stuff. Of very little value.
That's typical. We have a lady that I've dealt with that she's got a whole basement full of junky prizes like you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And God knows how much she's paid for them over the years.
Finally, I finally convinced my mother, whenever she got these calls, to tell the people to give me a call and talk to me about it. And, of course, they never called.
What a surprise.
You get this in the mail directly. Great big brown envelope, which somehow says, Milton Rosenberg, congratulations, you've won $1 million.
That's right, and then until you read the small print,
yeah.
If your number is picked and all that stuff, send and buy 17 different subscriptions to magazines.
Right.
And yeah, oh, geez.
Horrible, horrible.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to have heard from you. And to another. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello, are you there? Apparently not. And so we'll go to yet another caller on 591-7200. 591-7200. Again, some lines available if you've been trying to reach us. And you have reached us. Good evening.
Hi. I've been recently victimized by a scam artist. And the way this happened was he was remodeling my kitchen. And at one point, he ran into some problems. So he kind of gave me the sob story, how he needed more money to get more materials to finish the job. I gave him more money, and that was it. He vanished.
How much did you give him?
$3,000.
What was the job he was supposedly doing?
He was going to remodel the kitchen.
Did he do any work at all?
Yes, he did. He did a lot of the taking out the old materials and partially put in a couple windows.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to send him a registered letter demanding that he either return your money or complete the work within 10 days.
Okay.
If he can be reached.
It makes no difference. It makes no difference. You have to. All he has to do is send that letter to this guy's last known address, registered. If he refuses it or comes back, it makes no difference. That's one of the things he has to do to comply with the Illinois Home Repair Fraud Act. After he does that, he can go to his local police station, walk in there and say, I've done everything up to now. I tried contacting this guy. I sent him a registered letter. He refuses. Then they can go after him criminally now.
Okay. Now, I do. The thing that I would like to do, I know this guy is a con man. I have his phone numbers, and I can talk to him, and he will tell me I'm going to have my guys over there and this and that. That's been going on. So
okay, but stop all that with him, you know, because he's just playing you for a fool.
Right.
Send him a letter demanding you either return the money or he complete the work within 10 days.
Okay.
And then go from there. And if he doesn't do it, you go to local law enforcement or the attorney general's office, and they will assist you in, you know, filing a criminal complaint against this man.
Okay, but I do not have an address of this individual.
Okay, well, then I would go to the local police department, and a lot of times the local police department can actually help you fill out that letter. We do that for people who come into our... I just did one the other day for a guy. He came in, said the guy was going to roof his house. He kept giving a song and dance like you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
I have one on my computer. I composed the letter, sent it off, and sure enough, the guy was there on the ninth day and completed the work.
Oh, okay. Because the Better Business Bureau, basically they told me, write us a letter.
Yeah.
No, and send us a copy of the contract. Unfortunately, this was a friend of a friend.
It makes no difference. Illinois Home Repair Fraud Act says a handshake, a verbal agreement is the same as a written contract, and you're covered. But I would go down to your local police station, sit down with them, give them what information you have, tell them this is a violation of the Illinois Home Repair Fraud Act, you want to prosecute this guy. But the first step is you have to send him that letter.
Okay. Now, in that letter, Well, how would I put that?
You just say you just spell it out frankly. You know, dear so and so.
The job is not
right.
Completed.
As of today, you have 10 days to either complete the work or return all my money.
Brooke, I would bet the name. It's quite possible that the name he got from this man isn't his real name.
Well, that's possible too. But it makes
no, it's his real name, but it's just a long nightmare story, and all I want to do is stop this guy from doing this to other people, because I know he is doing it to other people.
So then you have to be the one to step up and start it then.
Okay. Now, he's in the suburb. I'm in the city.
Makes no difference.
Should I go to my city?
Yeah, you have to go where the crime occurred, which would be in the city of Chicago. Go down to your local, you know, the area or the district and report it to them, and you'll be all set.
Thank you, Detective. Dr. Rosenberg, great show, always.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And we'll go quickly to another caller on 591-7200. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you about a scam that we got scammed, in the Christmas season down in Duluth.
Uh-huh.
We come down to walk Michigan Avenue and look at the lights. We come in and we come on Ohio, and we're looking for a parking lot. Now, we come upon a lot, and we're about to turn into the lot, and there's a fellow standing next to the ticket dispensing machine. He takes the ticket out of the machine, and he says, it's $10. As long as you want to park.
Ooh.
We said, fine, that sounds like a good deal. Give him the $10. He gives us the ticket. We shop and eat. And then when we get in our car to leave, we go out the exit. The guy says, $15. So he got us.
Boy, that's very clever, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, just to stand there. And I wonder how many people he got.
Well, you know, if you don't come downtown that often, and he's standing here. It looks like he's working in the lot.
Is this a new one on you?
Yeah.
I've never had it before.
Yeah, I never heard of this one.
Bruce
has
never heard of this.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love it. I mean, what a great idea. I mean,
geez,
$10 a car? He must have been making a killing out there.
It would take $10 to get in and $15 to get out.
Well, I'd have been hot if I were you.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. So this is an area of inventiveness. The artistry always reaches out the new frontier.
That's right. I mean, I bet he was walking by and said, you know, look at all these tourists here. Look at that machine. And he probably tried it to see if it would work. And people gave him the $10. I mean, it must have been, you know.
Rather reminds me of a famous ad that ran for a number of months in the New Republic magazine. The full text of the ad was, last chance, send $5 now. And then gave a P.O. box. Didn't tell you what you were sending the $5 for. And somebody followed up on that, and the man had made many thousands of dollars, probably $100,000. People kept sending him $5 because the ad told
them. The last chance. There was an ad appearing in a magazine in South Dakota a while back.
Yeah.
And actually, it's appeared around here, too. And it said, bug-killing device, the bug mite. Guaranteed to kill.
Oh, yes.
And it had the whole list of insects. It was guaranteed to kill. Safe for the environment, safe for your children, safe for the garden, safe for the pets. Only $5. And people would send off their $5, and what they got back in return mail, they actually got something, was two little squares of plywood.
Right.
And one of them had an X, and the other one had the directions. It said, put the bug on the X, put the other piece on top of it, hit it with your fist. If the bug's not dead, hit it again. Every word was absolutely true and correct. Safe for the environment, safe for the children. Any bug you could catch and get in there. Here's a great story. I'm doing a talk to a bunch of seniors one day, and I have one of those at home I'd gotten. And I show it, and I'm showing the device, and I get it all done. This older man comes up to me afterward and says, I've got one of those. Matter of fact, I bought it last week, but mine came with a hammer. And I paid $10. Uh-huh. And he says, you know what? It was worth the $10 because I got a big laugh out of it. I show it to everybody. And so, but he took it quite well. But,
Well, if he had paid $1,000, he would have taken it.
Oh, man,
he'd
have been upset.
591-7200 is our number. We will pause for the usual reasons and then directly back to the phones. I should add that we have opened the email. If you want to reach us via email, and that's particularly valuable for those who are listening very far away via the Internet in another country or across the Rockies in this country, if you want to reach us via email, please do so by all means. The email address is simply extension 720, one word, extension 720 at Tribune, T-R-I-B-U-N-E, .com. Extension 720 at Tribune.com. And we'll check out some of that email right now, and we'll be back with you right after these words.
Hello there, golfing person.
Hey, how you doing?
I noticed you're pulling up in that Taurus. Let me just put your clubs into the more spacious trunk of this Buick Century.
Isn't the caddy supposed to pick us up in a golf cart?
Personal choice. I prefer the Century.
You're not our caddy. You're an announcer.
Thank you for noticing. Hey, guys, let's take this Century for a test drive. Plenty of room for a foursome, plus two.
That's more room than your Taurus, Bob.
Promote that, man. Bob, take a memo. This Century is a Consumer's Digest Best Buy.
Hey, you can't drive on the golf course.
Well, not in a Taurus LX, but in a Century with standard traction control and standard ABS. Yeah.
Not going to get in 18.
Might even get in 30, Bob, with Century's quick keyless entry.
Ooh.
Folks, take the Century Challenge today. With $1,500 cash back, it's a great time to visit your nearest dealer. And when you test drive any new Buick, you'll get two tickets to the Motorola Western Open Golf Tournament. No purchase necessary, one pair per household. Quantities of tickets are limited. Offer ends July 3rd.
How come a Bob always gets to drive?
Yeah, and you're always fiddling with the radio.
I know this course.
Not right.
Cash back offer applies to all 1999 Buick Centuries. Must take retail delivery from participating dealer stock by 9/30/99. Not available with special GMAC finance or lease offers.
I'm John. I have diabetes. I take insulin every day, and I count on my blood glucose monitor. So when I heard a monitor could give me clinical accuracy, I bought it. It's called Precision QID. With Precision QID, I'm confident with my readings because it's clinically proven to eliminate many test errors. For the first time, my results aren't affected by common medications I take. Readings take just 20 seconds, and I can even use up to two-thirds less blood. Get Precision QID. Clinical accuracy for people like us who take insulin.
His sharp wit and endless compassion made Mike Royko a Chicago institution. Now, one more time, the best of Mike Royko collects four decades of the best Royko columns. Read everyone's favorites, the Slats Grobnik stories, the column on Frank Sinatra's threat to punch Mike out, the riff on how Mike's feet had always disappointed him, the moving pieces on racism, and Mike's scathingly funny attacks on political correctness. With a foreword by Studs Terkel, one more time, the best of Mike Royko was like a gruff, opinionated friend from the University of Chicago Press in bookstores now. A perfect gift.
Now, from Radio 720, WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
And directly back to Bruce Wahlstad. You did a book some years ago, but it's out of print now, isn't it?
Sting Shift, Street Smart Cop's Handbook of Cons and Swindles.
Yeah.
Third printing. Just went out of print a week ago. Ran out, last copy sold.
I've got my copy of it at home.
That's right. Yeah. Great book.
591-7200 is the number, and we go directly back to your calls to Bruce Wahlstad. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting and informative show. About a year ago, I received a letter from Nigeria.
Oh.
Yeah, I suppose you've heard of it.
I received one of those, too.
Uh-huh.
I've got about 20 of them at home.
How much
were they offering you?
Well, this guy says he embezzled about $20 million from the oil industry.
Right.
And had no way of getting it here, but if we gave him our assistance in the form of a
using your bank account. Right.
He would deposit it to our account, and we would get a third or half or whatever, you know.
Cool.
And I understand it's an industry back in Nigeria.
It is. What would have happened if you would have followed up with that and called that phone number is you would have talked to a con man on the phone, and he would have said, okay, let's get started. Send me $5,000 to get your papers ready.
Uh-huh.
And after you got the first $5,000 to them, they'd say, okay, great, we're moving. Now you got to send me $6,000 or $10,000 to take care of the lawyers. You'd send that off. And eventually, I mean, they would bilk you for they would continue that until you finally say, hey, enough is enough. When do I come get my money? And you would actually, in many cases, many victims of this actually go to Nigeria and are told to bring a lot of money with them, and they're cleaned out, their passports taken away, and our embassy, I think at one time, was rescuing 10 to 15 Americans a month walking in with no cash, no passports, and they've been cleaned out by these guys.
Which guys were these guys?
These were the Nigerian con men. But now, see, the Nigerian government says this is the devil business, to quote them, and they're going to put a stop to it.
Uh-huh.
They never have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a gigantic moneymaker, you know, all the money rolling into their country.
It must be a major industry employing you.
If I may, I'd like to tell you about another scam in that part of the world.
Sure, go ahead.
I was in the export business, and most of our export, the terms are site draft, which means the merchandise is shipped to a particular address, but the documents goes to a bank. In order for them to get the documents, to get the freight, they have to pay the bank. This is the way it works. Well, in that part of the world, the banks works with the consignee and gives him the documentation so that he can get the merchandise without having to pay the bank. And at one time, my firm, before I got to work for them, lost something like $30,000 on one shipment alone.
Jeez.
Yeah. The shipping, they're all in cahoots. It was just a matter of it didn't pay for us to bring it back because there would be freight charges involved and all sorts of retributions there. Anyway, I thought I'd impart this bit. As I said before, you have a very interesting show, Dave.
Thank you very much for the call, sir.
Sure.
That Nigerian thing has been going on for years.
Oh, geez, yeah. Matter of fact, there was just something I saw on the news about that recently, that they were actually, there's a task force that exists made up, I believe, of postal inspectors and Secret Service agents, and I believe they're based somewhere in the East Coast, and they're actually now intercepting all that bulk mail that comes into our country, and they're actually destroying it, knowing what it is before it comes in.
Now, is that a variant on some old operation?
If you think about it, it's the old Spanish prisoner.
That's what I thought. Explain the original Spanish prisoner.
Well, the Spanish prisoner is you'd get a letter in the mail saying that, along with a news clipping about this Spanish guy who was locked up in jail, and that if you sent some money over to Spain to bribe the guards, when this guy, you know, so he could break out of jail, he was worth a lot of money, and then he would come here and give you some of his money. So basically, it's the same scam. They're asking you for money in return for a great deal you're going to get. And I always tell people, you think about this, I mean, it's like the pigeon drop. These things make no sense. But again, you know, you're hypnotized with the thought you're going to get all this money for nothing.
The standard rule to ordinary people who might be victimized is, the first rule, is if it sounds too good to be true.
It is.
It is too good to be true.
I can't think of better words. I mean, people always ask me, what are your parting words? And I can't come up with anything better than that. I don't know what else to tell
you. You have any other rules?
Yeah, don't get involved. Walk away. Be skeptical. Think twice.
Uh-huh.
Hang up the phone.
5917. Don't hang up the phone now, though.
No, later.
Call us if you'd like. 591-7200 is the number, and we'll be going to another call almost instantly, and here it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, what I'm calling in, and good evening, gentlemen. I'm calling in about the computer dating services.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, you're interviewed by someone who tells you, oh, yes, I have many gentlemen in your age category, and, you know, we will be able to set you up with, you know, compatible people. You fill out a profile. They do a videotape of you, and then you go into the office. You see videotapes of, you know, people, other people, and this goes on, and then you pick out some you might be interested in, and then there's always some reason that it doesn't work out. In the end, I think it cost me something like about $2,500.
What? How much? $2,500?
Yeah, about $2,500.
For what? For what services?
Oh, well, this was for registering with their agency and having my pictures taken and having the video taken of me. And, you know, I had to sign a contract.
Did you ever get a date?
Where was this?
No, did you ever get a date?
There was one, I think, in probably a year and a half. I went up there one time. There was this poor young man. I think he had multiple sclerosis or something. I mean, he could hardly even, you know, open the pages of the book to look through. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely a scam.
Well, I've heard of, like with this computer stuff, these computer dating, I've heard of some very reputable companies and some that are like this where you just never seem to get a date.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the dance schools, the old-time dance studios.
Arthur Murray taught me dancing.
Oh,
right?
Man. Or the old hearing aids. It's astounding. In the Illinois law and Illinois statutes, you know, you might have a page or two on theft.
Uh-huh.
You get into dance schools, there's got to be 20 pages of laws regarding dance studios. And you get into hearing aid sales, there's got to be 20 pages of laws
mm-hmm.
governing this stuff. And I'm sure computer dating places are probably not far behind because of the amount of fraud that does occur in that area.
Well, it's sad because, I mean, they're preying on people's loneliness, you know. And then you feel like such a fool, so of course you don't want to tell any of your friends.
But
you
see,
know,
that's the big problem that people have. You shouldn't feel the fool
mm-hmm.
because we've all been taken, whether you admit it or not.
Then, ma'am, you never registered a complaint against this outfit?
No, I didn't.
You should. I would call the Illinois Attorney General's office.
Really?
Absolutely. And talk to them and say, listen, because you're probably not the first. I bet
mm-hmm.
they've got a file on these people. You know, if they clipped you for $2,500
mm-hmm.
to get one date over a period of a year and a half, I think there's a problem there. And, you know, sometimes the Attorney General can do stuff for you. Sometimes they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But at least make them aware of it. You know, call them tomorrow. You know, call directory. I don't have the phone number with me, but call directory assistance.
Uh-huh.
They have an office right here in Chicago, Illinois Attorney General's office.
Uh-huh.
Call there and find out and talk to an investigator. Tell them your story and see. I'm sure maybe they even have a file on this company.
Oh, well, yeah. They're all over the United States. They're a big dating service.
Well, I would look into it. I wouldn't hesitate to call. Don't feel the fool
mm-hmm.
at all.
Well, thank you very much for your advice.
Well,
and Milt, I listen to you as often as possible. You have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have heard from you. 591-7200. It's obviously endless. There is no end to the variety of ways in which people can be fleeced.
No. I mean, even tonight we just learned about the guy out there collecting money to go in the parking lot, you know? And, like,
Well, this one is equally surprising, the one we've just heard.
I've heard about these before. I've heard similar complaints about computer dating services where you have to pay all this money to make a video, you have to pay all this money for this part of the service, and it just went on and on and on and on.
Back to the phones. You are next. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dr. Rosenberg. I'm just a huge, huge fan of your show. And
thank you.
I just really, really think that you've got the best show on the radio, and it's an honor to talk to you.
Let's see, is there something I can sell you?
Well, I was going to ask you if you would like me to update your account to Y2K compatibility right now.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Kiev, Ukraine, I got scanned for $150 in the, some kind of switch where I was going to exchange it, and somebody took it and was counting out the exchange, the other currency. And then a very large man came up and said, no, you cannot do that here. And the guy hands me back American money, which I thought was mine, but it was actually three $1 bills folded instead of three $50s folded.
Ooh, very clever.
And then that guy disappears, and the big guy stays there, and then what could I do? But my question was for Bruce, if you're familiar with the movie Pacific Heights?
No,
with
I'm not.
Michael Keaton?
I've heard of it. I don't know if I've seen it or not.
Okay, well, it's kind of hard to summarize it, but this guy moves into an apartment, rents an apartment from a couple who just bought a multi-family dwelling. And he's in there, and he doesn't pay the rent and he starts destroying the building by bringing in cockroaches and all kinds of things. It's a great movie. You really should watch it.
You know, it's got a vaguely familiar ring to it, but go ahead.
Well, he eventually scams the newlywed couple out of the building by destroying their lives, getting court orders against them, and eventually they get even with him. But I mean, the point is, they lost the building by having this guy come in. I was wondering if you've heard of that kind of thing happening, where a tenant will come in and destroy the lives of the landlord, and is that something, you know, landlords need to watch out for?
Well, I can't say I've heard of that particular scam. I think maybe I've seen part of this movie. It's got a semi-familiar ring to it. I mean, a lot of times con games are just developed. They're given the opportunity, and they come up with something and just work it on somebody, you know, like probably the, you know, who knows? It could be real. It could not be. Let's hope not, though.
Mm. Sarah, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Glad to have heard from you. And we'll go to another. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to relate a simple tale that happened to my brother some years ago. He bought a new car, and it was in the wintertime, and took some friends out to go to a fancy restaurant, pulled in front of the restaurant, and there was a fellow standing there and said, "I'll take your car, sir." He threw in the keys, went in late, came back out and said, "Where's the car hiker?" He says, "We don't have one at this restaurant."
He did in fact take his car.
He was telling the truth.
Oh my goodness.
Let me take your car.
And was the car recovered?
A week later they found it stripped.
Stripped.
Jeez. The ingenuity.
No, that seems so simple in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, can you imagine the nerve it took to stand there and just pretend to be that person?
Yeah.
You know, that's like the guy.
But he was telling the truth.
I'll take your car, sir. And he gave me
Well, that's
keys.
Like those guys who stand in the parking lots of department stores and say they're an employee when you're walking in. They get your deal on something. They need extra money, and I'll give you my. I get a 40% discount on electronics. Go in and pick something out. You go in and pick out a TV. You give him the 60% of what it's worth, and he tells you to wait by the loading dock, and he's going to bring it out. And he goes out the front door, and you're left at the loading dock. Can you imagine the nerve it takes to do that? He doesn't even work there. He just convinces people he does, and you go pick out the item, and he pretends he works for the store, and unbelievable stuff.
Except no offers from anybody.
Not yet. I'm surprised. I thought we were going to get somebody tonight. Maybe yet.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Okay, quite welcome.
Yeah, the somebody you want is the person who's played con games, whether still in active practice or whether he did it merely during his irresponsible youth.
Yeah, just a quick story would be good.
Yeah, we're looking for that. 591-7200 is the number. Calling all con men, present and past. And women. What's the sex distribution on that?
You know, it depends on where you go and what con game it is. The bank examiner scam, for example, that's the one where they tell you
it's a male game.
Yeah, it's strictly men. In the area of the Pigeon Drop, in the Chicagoland area, it's primarily females who do it. If you go to other parts of the country, it'll be a combination of men and women. You go to someplace else, it'll be primarily men. Three-card Monte, strictly a man game. So it all depends on the scam and where throughout the country it's being worked.
I would think a classic female hustle is a sexual come-on.
Mm-hmm.
Through which somehow one extracts money and then one dumps the mark one way or another.
This is a big growing problem. And we talked about earlier with the seniors. Let me tell you, these cases are growing in numbers where elderly men, elderly women are meeting other, you know, persons of the opposite sex a little bit younger than them and getting cleaned out or getting clipped for $5,000 or $10,000 in these little sweetheart romance things. We've seen instances where...
How would that be played through? Give me an example.
Well, case history.
Yeah.
A woman comes into this older man's life. She was in her 50s. He was like 80. He had the first symptoms of Alzheimer's. Well, I dealt with him many times, and you'd be in the middle of a conversation with him. He would stop and say, "Who are you?"
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely some memory loss problems there. He had met this woman. She had worked. He had 5 credit cards he didn't know about that she had gotten for him, which she had held. He had a new mortgage on his house, which he had no idea, but he had signed for it. She duped him into signing all these papers. He had joint bank accounts with her that he knew nothing about. And it just so happened a nosy neighbor, or I shouldn't say a nosy neighbor, a good concerned neighbor said, "You know, there's something funny going on here with this guy." We were able to get in there and actually get him out of the house. We found some relatives. We were able to close down all the accounts. And the mortgage he didn't have to pay because he didn't have a clue. Another case comes out of another town. They had, excuse me, the family had actually the woman had actually moved in with the guy, had gotten onto the title of his house, had gotten onto his will, had gotten onto the title of his car, and had clipped him for over $100,000 in cash before the police got involved, got the woman out of the house. The only thing, the poor old guy did lose the $100,000, but at least they got hit, they got her off the will and off the house and everything else. If he had died, she would have cleaned up big time.
Hmm. Last round of commercials coming up, and then directly back to Bruce Wallstadt and to your calls for him on 591-7200.
Terry's Automotive Group is celebrating the addition of its newest dealership, Terry's Hyundai on 159th Street in Tinley Park. A week-long sales event with the area's largest selection. You'll find over 200 brand-new 1999 Accents, Sonatas, Tabarons, and Elantras. And only Terry's Hyundai brings you this selection at rock-bottom prices. Check it out. Every car is marked with their special discounted price. There's no haggling. Included are factory rebates of up to $2,000 on selected models. But that's just the beginning. Appraisers are offering great trade-in values, and 0.9% APR financing is available on selected models with qualified credit. Only Hyundai backs their quality with a 10-year powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile, zero-deductible bumper-to-bumper warranty. And this week only, Terry's Hyundai offers great prices, exceptional trade-in values, and low-rate financing. No credit application will be refused. The celebration ends Saturday, June 26th at 9 p.m. Terry's Hyundai in Tinley Park on 159th Street at 84th Avenue.
Everyone needs a little estrogen in the morning.
Hey, Riley, how old are you?
Eight.
We heard in the Disney store they're selling that outfit that Tarzan was wearing. What's it called?
But what?
The girlfriend.
I don't.
Weekday morning.
That's the way they're billing it at the Disney store, Riley.
Do not need to.
Some people call it a loincloth.
Radio 720.
Sounds like butt fluff.
Yeah. WGN.
Announcing the Great Lincoln Tent Event. On now at your Lincoln dealer. It's what a luxury car sale should be. Impressive. Because you'll find an excellent selection of roomy, luxurious 99 Lincoln Town Cars ready for immediate delivery. And there are plenty of powerful, sophisticated 99 Lincoln Continentals on the ground and ready to go. It's also impressive. Because now you can get low-rate financing that can save you thousands in finance charges. And if you stop in soon, we'll even pay your first month's payment. But hurry, because the Great Lincoln Tent Event is one more thing a luxury car sale should be. Limited. It all ends July 5th, 1999. So see your Lincoln dealer now during the Great Lincoln Tent Event. Lincoln, what a luxury car should be. Ford Credit will pay your first month's payment up to $750 on retail installment contracts with approved Ford Motor Credit financing. Residency restrictions do apply, so see your dealer for details.
Now, from Radio 720 WGN Chicago, this is Extension 720. Here's your host, Milton Rosenberg.
Just a quickie, Bruce, on email. Please ask Bruce, if I get a snaky call from a ripoff artist, is there anything I can do to keep him on the line or get any information from him in order to get him busted?
You know, most of the time they'll hang up on you. You know, we talked about this a little bit off the air, Milt. There's this new thing, this privacy manager. And I really, it's probably one of the greatest things that ever came out. It's a new thing that Ameritech is offering in the Chicagoland area to, I guess, certain locales. But what it basically does is if somebody calls your home, and the phone number, you know, is blocked on their end, like most telemarketers do, the call will not be completed. And they'll get a little recording that says something like, if you want this call to be completed, leave your name and whatever at the, you know, at a certain time, and then they record it. And people I know that have had it, their telemarketing calls are zero. Zero.
What do you pay for it?
I believe it's in the area of $5 a month. You have to have caller ID, which is another two or three, so it's, but it's well worth it. Or you can use the Jerry Seinfeld method, or my method, like yours, is just hanging up.
Yeah. But then who knows what wonderful opportunities you might be missing.
I can do without those wonderful opportunities. Years ago, when my son John was 2-3 years old, I used to put him on the phone, you know, when the telemarketers would call. Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'd put him on the phone, and he'd be going, hello, hello, hi, how are you? You know, and he won't do it anymore. He's 18. He stopped doing it. I don't know.
Back to the phones, our phones, 591 7200. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bruce and Milt. Just one quickie, and I don't know whether the producer gave it to you or not, but you ought to say it over the air. You can the guy that called in said he only had a phone number on the guy, didn't know his address.
Yeah.
There's a phone number you can dial, 796-9600. Which will give you the, you give them the phone number.
And it'll come back with the name and address. That's only if it's a published number, though.
Oh, you think this guy might not be published?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that does
but
work.
But he can try it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's why I told him to go to the police station, and they can find out, even if it's a non-pub, they can find out who he is.
I'll bet, yeah, right. Anyway, my scam was I was up at Clark, and, whatever, the north side, and the guy is hitchhiking and nicely dressed, and he says his car just broke down, but he's on his way back to someplace in Europe. And he had a whole bunch of papers that they had found in one of his relatives' strong box somewhere, but he couldn't take them out of the country.
Mm.
So if I would give him, he needed cash, he'd give me these papers and that I could...
were the papers supposed to be?
Some kind of certificate of deposit or I don't know, some kind of... I looked at them and they looked like they were real. And I went so far, it was greediness got into me because what he told me, that this thing, if I gave him $2,000, these things were worth $10,000. So I'd make $8,000 like in a snap or something like that. And I went as far as going to the bank with him, took out the $2,000, and then something happened. I don't know what brought it to my mind, but something said, wait a minute, this thing could be a greater than it is and it usually is. What is that expression? Something.
If it's
something
too good to be true, it is.
Yeah, right. And I turned right around and put the money back into the bank, gave it back to the
good
teller.
Good for you.
And told him to go blow himself off. And sure enough, he met some guy out front. I watched them, the two of them afterwards, and they were snapping their fingerprints. Son of my gun, boy, we almost had him.
Yeah. Good for you, sir.
I was happier than a pig in slop when it didn't happen. But boy, greediness was in there.
You know what he's talking about, Milt? There's an old East Coast scam called the Indian Head Penny Scam. Exact
mm-hmm.
same thing. People come up to you on the street. I found these coins. They belong to the doctor. Can you call the doctor for me? And you wind up getting on the phone call in some doctor's office, and you get some guy on the phone and says, oh, yeah, $1,000 reward for those coins. And now you've got the guy standing there who's got the coins in his hand. You wind up giving him a couple $100. You jump in a cab, go to the doctor's office. You get there.
Ain't none.
Ain't no doctor there.
An empty lot.
Yeah. No. You know what the cool part is, or the interesting part, yeah. I should say? They send them all to the same address. It's an apartment building on the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And they actually, on an old episode of Unsolved Mysteries, they interviewed the doorman. And he said, over the past few years, we've estimated 3,000 to 4,000 people have actually come here looking for Dr. Whoever.
Yeah.
And those poor doormen, they were like furious.
Great story. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Night. Good night. 591-7200. Go to another. And here it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I enjoy your show, as everybody else that calls obviously does. I have just a little quickie here. I got a telephone call about a month ago from somebody who said that one of my parents, who passed away about 8 or 9 years ago, they're both deceased now, it happened to be my mother. He said, are you a relative of, and gave her a maiden name. I said, yes. He said, oh, that's good, and then gave me my surname. He said, we've discovered that your mother had some money invested that apparently was never distributed to you, and we'll send you documentation if you send back the birth certificate of your father, and we have, that was an amount between $2,000 and $3,000 that are due you. I said, well, that's real nice. Who is it? Well, naturally, we can't tell you that, or we won't get our 35% cut of the money. So I'm in the midst here, trying to figure out if you've heard of this scam and what the next step will be when they get back to me, saying, you know, if you give us $350 up front, we'll give you $2,000 back. Is that the way it works?
Well, I think
sound legitimate.
Well, I think if they're, I think the giveaway to this right away is when you're saying you have to give money to get money.
Well, they haven't asked me.
Well, then
I would keep
going along then until they ask you for money. Or ask you for personal information about, you know, your bank accounts, your credit cards,
no, I don't do that.
Anything like that. But, I mean, maybe it's legitimate. But, I mean, as soon as they tell you you've got to pay money to get that money, that's when I'd stop.
Yeah, okay.
Have they sent you anything in paper yet?
Oh, yes. We sent in the paper, and actually...
Now, what state is this outfit from?
Pennsylvania.
You know, I would call the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office tomorrow. Get on the phone. and call them up and ask them, explain to them what's happening to you, and ask them, is this, was it like a lawyer's office that's calling you or something they claim
to
be?
That's what they allege, yeah.
And I would call out there and find out if they've had similar type things. It might be legitimate. I mean, who knows?
Well, what I thought I would do is I have sent the information that they wanted back to them, and I thought I would just wait and see
well, that's good too,
what they come back with.
I would look into it in the interim, though, so, you know, just for your own, you know, give them a call tomorrow. See,
okay.
They may already have complaints about this.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, sir.
Good night.
And you are next. Good evening. Hello, are you there? Apparently not, so we'll go to this caller. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Yes, sir.
At Woodfield, there, lady got her purse snatched by not only a purse snatcher but a con man, and she reported it to the security department. An hour later, when she got home, she got a call and said they found her wallet and all in the trash and her purse. And she could come out and get it, you know, and wonderful, her credit cards. And they said all the cash was gone, but only cash. And so she drove out there and reported that they went up to get her purse. And they said, I'm sorry, we never called you. So she drove home.
And they burglarized
her
house.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So not only did she get her purse taken in the day, she got her house stolen.
Now, how did they know that she had lost her purse?
They stole it from her.
They probably were the ones.
These were the thieves themselves, of
course.
Well,
yeah, that's what the police told
us. Of course.
There are a couple of similar cases.
They had all her ID, and then they just looked her number up.
That is really cruel, isn't it?
Well, they probably were on a cell phone across the street and saw her leave, and they know she'd be gone about an hour, and it was a half hour there and a half hour back.
There's a similar caper to that where they take the guy's barbecue or some of his lawn furniture and keep it for a week and then put it back with an envelope attached to it with tickets to the Cubs game, apologizing that they took it, the kids took it, they feel bad or whatever. And then when you're off to the Cubs game, they burglarize your home.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sir, thank you.
Okay.
How naive of me. It just shows that I've still got a trusting nature.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
It never occurred to me there was the thieves who stole the pocketbook.
Yeah. I got to tell you a quick story. It made me think of it when he mentioned the mall. I was teaching out in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Yeah.
And I was talking to police out there, and they told me about a scam that happened out there. Somebody had taken an old FedEx depository box that kind of looked like a mailbox, repainted it, and actually painted the mall's bank logo on it. And then right before closing, in the middle of the afternoon, they took this thing, wheeled it right into the mall, and put it after the bank had closed at like 6 o'clock, whatever it was, a little bit after. They put this right in front of the night deposit box of the bank, put a sign on the night deposit box, out of order, and put their box in front of it. And the first night alone, they netted like over $100,000 in cash and a couple $100,000 in checks and credit card stuff. The second night, they put it out again, but didn't have the nerve to go pick it up.
Incredible. People will fall for just about anything.
Yeah. There's one born every minute.
And there's one born every minute to take the other one.
Oh, no,
every
two
minute.
For them. Two of them born.
After all these years of doing this kind of work, do you find yourself still capable of trusting any human being?
It's hard. You know, being a policeman, I'm sure you have many policemen listeners, they'll tell you the same thing. You become very skeptical of people.
Reminds me of the great blues tune. Nobody loves me but my mama, and she could be jiving me, too.
Oh, jeez. I never heard that one. That's good. No, you know, it's you become very skeptical, and you become very callous. I feel I like to share information with people, and I really enjoy that.
I always enjoy our meetings, and I thank you very much for coming once again on short notice. We had to change our schedule, as regular listeners probably have realized by now. And Bruce Wildstad has joined us once again, and will undoubtedly appear here before too long yet once more. Some quick words about programs to come. Tomorrow night, James Burke, that very interesting Englishman who is a novel historian of science, he joins us together with another historian of science, Professor Kenneth Alder. Monday, speaking of the English, another very significant English writer, A.N. Wilson, who's been with us before. His new book is titled God's Funeral. It's an examination of the conflict between religion and science. And we're joined as well by Professor William Schweiker of the University of Chicago Divinity School. And other fine things to come next week. In fact, there will be a recorded interview with Bill Murray, which we put in the can just about a week ago and had great fun with. That will be coming up Friday next week. But until Friday this week, which is in fact tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, a cordial good night to all.
Chicago's News and Talk, Radio 720 WGN Chicago, a Tribune Broadcasting Station.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Gil Fox. Yugoslavia's officials are furious, but the United States is offering a $5 million reward for help in bringing indicted war criminals to justice. The list includes Slobodan Milosevic and four other Yugoslav officials and several leaders in Bosnia who were indicted for crimes that happened earlier in the Bosnian War.
Officials say the multi-million dollar reward offer is designed to show how serious the U.S. is in its effort to track down and punish anyone responsible for war crimes in the Balkans. People with information that can lead to arrests and convictions are being urged to call a U.S. embassy or consulate anywhere in the world.